anything I say is extra. From the beginning, our life is nothing but this. Even saying that, much less giving it names, using words like mind dharma or Buddha nature or any of the other, are just medicine for the habits that we act out over and over to create difficulties in the midst of our own functioning of seeing, hearing, smelling, walking, lifting, letting go, carrying. And those seem so natural that we do act, live in them without even noticing. So we need the medicine, whether the medicine is practice or the medicine is our suffering that results from that behavior, to help us maybe notice what we're doing, maybe begin to practice to cease the, if I use the word that we use in the practice principles, self-centeredness, the holding to self-centered emotion, thought, functioning. I want, I'm going to do, I'd like. Even in sesshin, the forms of sesshin are designed to let us put those down for a moment, for a little bit, and yet we pick them up when we're sitting and we get to notice it, and we pick them up in breaks, walking around doing this and that, and becoming entangled in our seemingly natural habits. And acting them out so that we counteract this wonderful true nature that we are. We keep insisting on it. Now we see this, hear this, receive and maintain this. This is who hears, who sees, who stands. But when we see and add, I don't like that, I want that, that isn't the way, and so on and so forth, then we entangle our seeing, our functioning, our grasping and releasing, our smelling and tasting. So I need to talk, we need to practice, we need to clarify over and over, in order to allow this true life that we are from the beginning to be as it is, to be this that doesn't need any medicine to heal it, because it never was and never is sick. never lacked anything. If we say being just this, there's not a thing to do extra. And yet we run from that with and when the habits arise, and naturally for us, so-called naturally, get acted out. So hopefully, despite the strength of habits of attachment and reaction, hopefully in these few days in Sesshin, we've begun to have little big tastes of our life as it is. I shouldn't even say taste. We are being who we are. And more importantly for us in our continuing practice, noticed, seen where seemingly natural habits entangle us. Natural habits are nothing but this functioning that we are. And yet, they entangle us. We become entangled by them. So we have this another afternoon, evening, morning, and day of Sesshin to continue to deepen our appreciation of our own very true nature. But it's up to us to be this, if I use the word, pure radiance. Of course, that's a fancy word, and unfortunately we might get ideas about that. But this that we are, which manifests in all our spheres of functioning, is not lacking in a single place that we are. There isn't a single moment of functioning that isn't liberated, if I use that kind of word. And yet, we insist in our grasping, clinging, if I use that, insist that it's not so right here, right now. Not okay, unless, and then you fill in the unless. We fill in the unless. In a funny way, the very lack of, if I'll say it, structure of Zazen, even though it seems to have a structure of sitting upright, being still, a beginning bell, an ending bell, And yet the whole of that is open. It's the open radiance that we are. The open functioning of this breathing, hearing, seeing, smelling. And that very openness because it is so allows us, if we're present, to see as soon as mind chatter arises, to see that. And whatever our practice effort that's called for, make that. Because it's this open spaciousness that we insist ceases when our mind chatter habit comes up and we grasp it, believe it, act out on it. And in fact, the rest of Sesshin is actually an open space. So-called break is an open space of Zazen, unless we fill it with our grasping at one thing or another, thinking, wanting, or all the other things that we can do. And you, I, each of us, can see, if we're present, what we're doing. There's no such thing as a break in Sesshin. There's no such thing as a break in our life. It's this one true nature from birth to death, from before birth to after death. This just that we call mind dharma, Buddha nature, without form and pervading in all. So, we are now at the point where we are going from one form of practice tomorrow afternoon to another form of practice. So it's good to reflect on how and what our practice clarification is skillful and needed in Sesshin to continue supporting our deepening. Of course, not deepening anywhere except where we always are, which is great depth, great spaciousness, yet deepening our appreciation of what, where we are, and seeing how and what is needed. So that when our seeing, hearing, smelling, speaking, grasping, running, walking, carrying functions, we can see where that's being entangled in what we consider natural self-centeredness. Okay. I want to stop and let us explore this together. But before we do, since I've spoken about Guishan and Yangshan in the Sesshin, I thought I'd end with a nice koan of their interaction. Guishan asked Yangshan, "How many years has it been since you've ended the mind's subtle flow of defilements, meaning greed, anger, ignorance, meaning all the other so-called forms of manifesting self-centeredness. Yangshan didn't answer. Instead, he asked Guishan, "How many years has it been since the master ended it?" Guishan said, "Oh, it's already been 7 years since this old monk ended it. And you?" Yangshan said, "Me? I'm quite active." So our practice is in the midst of our functioning, and yet does it support us in manifesting who we are, or does it entangle us in greed, in appetites of various sorts that create stress and suffering for us and others? Okay, I'll stop now and see what you might have to say. If you wish to change your position, please do. That's a very interesting question to ask ourselves at various times.
Like all the time.
But we could look in our day. But even better is not just to limit it to when we open our mouth, but when we open our mind chatter mouth internally and start. And certainly our zazen and certainly sesshin gives us the opportunity to see how much that just goes off by itself, and we entangle ourselves in it and then just keep that all going. If it comes and goes of itself, no big deal. All sorts of clouds pass through the sky. But when we try to rope clouds, we get in trouble. The rope falls back on us. We get entangled in it. We blame others for it. We use it to do all sorts of mischievous things. And sometimes we get a reminder from our own stress and suffering or from the reactions of others. That's why sesshin is so simple. Thanks. I don't remember when I said it, but this. Nothing special that we do here. Nothing that anyone doesn't do throughout the day from morning to night. And yet, we're doing something very different in the sense of not indulging, or at least noticing where we're indulging. Hopefully noticing where we're indulging self-centered. Holding and grasping and attachment, and maybe sensing the consequence of that, because that's the point of practice, that's the point of our life, to manifest the wisdom and compassion that we are, or to see how to practice with the actions that result in the sicknesses of whether we call it stress, dissatisfaction, suffering, harm. That's why we call the greed, anger, ignorance the three poisons, because they cause sickness in our life and in the life of others.
What you say today and other times resonates with me.
Mm-hmm.
Not always, but you know, some of it, good amount of it resonates. And I think I see what you're saying. But along the lines of what Belinda just said, there's times in my life interacting with family members. I'm thinking of one specifically who's in kind of a self-destructive mode right now. And one of the very, very frustrating things for me is not being able to then express what resonated that I heard that you said or other places. Not being able to express it so clearly and so in a way that's helpful to somebody else.
Mm.
And it's easier for the most part to express it by not speaking, just by, like what Lo was talking about, just being present and open to someone who's caught up and is manifesting this caught up state, that whatever it might be that they're in. But I often feel frustrated that I can't express that like I hear it being expressed in that way, in a verbal sort of a way. And I think sometimes maybe I'm fooling myself. I really don't get this stuff as much as I like to think I do sometimes, because I can't turn around and express it as well as I would really like to be able to do.
We have to be careful if we think that we are able to, quote, accomplish changes in others based on what we say, that they would get it. That it's not our job is to do our best as we are, not according to some standard. Do our best, and we can't make others do anything. It's not useful. And we don't know how many times we or anyone else has to hear something, whether has to practice with effort in some directions until that grasping habit can be released for even just a moment, or till we can get a glimmer of, oh, this isn't helpful action, or this is poisonous action. We don't know how many times we have to hear it, so we do it each moment when there's the opportunity and that it's called for. We make our practice effort and breathe this moment, even if right away we're caught up in thinking about, what did he say yesterday? I should have gotten him for that. Even if that comes up 1,000 times and 1,000 times we notice it, and in a sense release and be right here, and it comes up again and we get entangled again, that's not our job. Our job is to take care of what's happening right now, not to decide how many times, at what point it's going to become clear, at what point we will appreciate our life. That,
sometimes I feel like just dragging
no.
this person into the zendo and thing him down and saying, "Shut up and listen to this guy."
has nothing to do with listening to any guy. All they have to do is sit down themselves. They don't even have to come into a zendo. Just sit. But you can't drag anyone. We can't even drag ourselves some of the time. So therefore we have to find a skillful means, when even when we can't sit down because of, call it, body mind agitation. What else is skillful practice right now in the midst of this anxious agitation, fear, or whatever we call it? And that's our wisdom, to find the practices that are appropriate and to be able to naturally use them. That's what we were talking about a few days ago. That's what Guishan was saying, that it's in the face of this karmic habit reactions, I'll just add that, that we have to find what both the general direction and the specific cultivation that's appropriate for this. And sometimes we find it through trial and error. Sometimes we find it not because we know in advance, but because being present, it becomes clear. Ah, this is habits of reactiveness arise as the natural functioning of cause and effect. They come from, quote, inside us, close quote, and from, quote, outside of us. They come from us and they come from others. They come from the universe, and we have little bits we could say, oh, it's because of this, because of that. That doesn't matter. That's all superfluous. It's just what's appearing here that we need to take care of.
Like Laurel said yesterday, right in the moment, look on the brighter side of life.
Well, can I trade my handyman for Ed Rosen? For what?
You don't know what his relative will bring along.
Careful what you wish for.
Well, you know, in a way, we all receive what we need to work with. And when we've taken care of that, our life that is this universe manifests the next moment. Not, there isn't any blame or, you know, oh yes, you deserve this, or you've done such and such, and therefore, no. We don't do that kind of calculation of why this came here. But since this is what we have now, since you have the handyman right now that you have, until you find an alternative, make good use of him, presenting us the opportunity. How? What skillful when he does this, even though we had this other agreement and I made it very clear to him. And nevertheless, again, how many times do I have to explain it?
That's a good idea, finding an alternative sister. I'll work on that.
Well, some things... some things there are no opportunities to find an alternative to.
But don't we have to sort of see that those things that come up to us that we consider wrong are, if we embrace them, in a sense transform, are we?
That's much too fancy words. What we have to deal with is our idea of what should or shouldn't be, and then see what's skillful. But first it has to be what you started with. See, you started with it and then just assume that you have to fix the thing to transform it. It starts with our ideas and reactions to it, not with anything else.
But isn't that what you talk about in the One Bright Pearl?
I don't know what I talk about there. I'm telling you what I talk about now. See, it's the now. It's when we believe something shouldn't be happening, despite the fact that it is happening, that we are hindered from seeing what to do right now. Because we believe it shouldn't be happening, and then we do things as a result of that that cause harm to ourselves and others. Then, what is there to do? Good. That's why I like the words, the phrase, skillful and appropriate. Because that reminds us, it's just a reminder. It's not, there isn't any, quote, truth of what's skillful and appropriate, except a reminder right now to being this functioning, this THIS, functioning. Sometimes my accent squashes words together, so I have to clarify. I wasn't saying dysfunctioning, but this-functioning. New York accents are strong, and I had a friend who, early on in his late teens actually, went to elocution lessons in order to get rid of his New York accent, even while we were still living in New York. I've never done that. So sometimes you're burdened by the distortions that come from that. But we all have our own accents. That's the wonderful Dharma, that we come in all these many forms. See, the Dharma is in all the many forms. This without form therefore manifests in all the many forms, and yet is not bound by any of them, and is not other than right this moment.
I have some Philadelphia diphthongs left, and I'm trying to, like...
No.
Trying not to use them.
No, use them. Speak naturally. No. Don't try anything. Don't see. You try too much with you trying to be a certain way. Just be natural.
Well, natural does not want to express the Philadelphia diphthongs.
Right? Okay.
But natural does want to express some gratitude for people here. I realized as I was finishing my break at home that I had this great sense of well-being, and I just thought, and my thoughts said, oh, I don't remember ever feeling this good before in Sesshin. And I'm not trying to, you know, be special, but I have prostate cancer, and I have to have an operation for it. And the prognosis is really good for what I have and the type and the perniciousness or lack of perniciousness of the cells. So the prognosis is good, and things will probably work out, and I'll probably see you a year from now, you know, at the next session. I mean sooner than that, because we do a session every 2.5 months. And I really look forward to seeing it. And when I came in the room today, I looked around and I thought, man, I like everybody here. This is incredible. I like everybody here. And it's not that 80% of you don't annoy me in one way or another, but that's okay. That's just the way it is. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, if for some reason, you know, I'm the 1%.
No. Stop there. Right. Stop there. I want you to look at, I think you brought up a very good word. When anyone annoys us, It's never about the other person. See, it's always, that's exactly the precepts about notice speaking of the faults of others. As soon as we believe annoy, that they, this event annoys me, or even this condition of my own body mind annoys me.
Stop.
Please. Yeah. But the practice point is to notice that sort of statement and find ways to remind ourselves when that arises. Right here, practice. What's skillful? What's the skillful medicine right now when we believe such things? So that's what our sitting, in a way, gives us the opportunity, because it's this open space, to see that arising in the midst of nothing particular happening to generate it, and yet the inertia of reactive habits allows that to come up, and what's more, allows us to believe what comes up to, as I like to use a privilege, our thoughts and feelings as if they're valid. We privilege our thoughts and feelings because, after all, they're mine. After all. As opposed to if they just sort of appeared and disappeared, we wouldn't say, oh, that's me. And yet, when they appear and disappear in this, call it mind-body state that we are, we privilege those. We make them into self. And therefore have to make practice effort in response to that self-grasping of them. See, the grasping is the only thing that turns grasping into self.
I love the koan that you read today. That, I think, so he's saying that, he's saying that he's alive with this self-centeredness that he's working with.
No, you're explaining it.
Oh.
Don't see, you're turning a koan into a non-koan. So don't try to understand it. Just hear it and leave it be.
Okay.
See, because even self-centeredness, don't turn self-centeredness into a negative. Self-centeredness is just another habit of mind. Don't turn it into a negative. No, but self-centeredness is nothing but the functioning of this moment. He's not saying anything about self-centeredness. He said, I will read it. He says, me, I'm quite active. Now, as soon as we hear koans and we try to interpret them, we're in trouble. So I read the koan, but if one were to come in with a koan, with this koan, and start explaining it, I would, if I was really a good teacher, I would ring you right out and stop you, or even more. Koans aren't to be explained with the rational mind, that to be embodied and grasped. That's why when we explain it, it's sometimes useful, but sometimes in a way that poisons us more, because we try to get more explanations and they become, as we said a few days ago, dross on our mind. We don't need dross. We don't need garbage or stuff. You are, from morning to night, nothing but this functioning of true nature. Believe it, be it. And when there's a need to take a bit of medicine or to take a splinter remover to remove a splinter, use it. And then put down the splinter remover and be this that you are. And then there's a need to label, use it. Need to make an effort of a different sort in cultivation and practice, use it. And then be this from morning to night, pure radiance without form that you are. Not because you do something special, but because you breathe, hear, see, smell, feel. In a way it's very simple, and in a way it's very radical. Because there's nothing that you are given, and nothing extra that you need. And there's nothing that we are lacking from the beginning. And yet, we need to know this and live this for ourselves in our functioning and in our being. Yes. I'm sorry, I don't see on that side, I have to turn my head.
Okay. When you were talking, Ed, about how it sounded like you were saying, having this belief that if you could somehow communicate the teachings to this other person, that would, you know, make a difference.
I don't want to use the word express, but yeah, communicate's okay.
But I mean, I this happened a couple of months ago. A friend was going to spend some time with their family, some family members, and this is someone that I sit with in Champagne, and this person said, well, you know, I'm going to take some Zen books to give to this family member because this person is so unhappy and they're always complaining and they're always miserable, and you know, I'm going to give them these Zen books. And I didn't say anything. But then when they came back from the trip, you know, they said, oh, you know, as soon as that person walked into the house and started talking, I knew this was a lost cause. And I said, yeah, it's like we say to others, I want you to stop being so self-centered, right? I mean, that I'm bothered by this other person, you know, it's more about me than that other. I mean, if I can be bothered, I'm going to be bothered. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I thought about that in this past few weeks with different people, that I've been bothered by, or in talking with them have tried to, you know, I've had the thought, you know, of sharing Zen wisdom or something, which is always to stay, because it's not. I mean, if someone asks, that's one thing, but it's not coming out of what's happening at that moment.
The thing to share with them is being loving, responding with them as best we can. And then if there's something skillful to say or do, we see it. But that's, we share ourselves and our being with them, because we share ourselves and our being with our life. so to say, speak. That's the best thing we have to offer. Being just this moment with them, just like being just this moment with ourselves. That's compassion's way.
Well, I was just going to say that in the case I was talking about, you know, my intention is selfish. I admit that. I want to ease this person's pain. I want to alleviate this person's suffering, because seeing it makes me suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's selfish in that regard, but I can't call it selfishness, because I think that's one of my jobs as a human being, is to try and do that when I can. And maybe the only way I can do that is to share in the suffering, to experience the suffering, and not run from it or not disregard it or deny it. But I sure would like to have this person specifically and other people experience what I experienced sitting here with this group, listening to what I hear in this room. I wish I could share that. I would give both my arms to be able to share that in the way that it's shared to me in sitting in this room with these people in these kinds of situations. And it's so frustrating and painful that I can't. At least I don't feel that I can. But it seems that way that I can. So.
It's very valuable for us to notice that if we think someone else needs to practice, that's a problem.
Yeah.
We are not about getting into other people's business. It's about being with them, practicing for them in our practice of being with them. I remember Joko used to say, this was specifically had to do with couples, and of course there's nothing wrong with both members of a couple practicing, but she said, if you think your partner needs to practice, really you are the one to practice for the two of you, not that they need to practice.
Yeah, I remember a married couple, there might have been other times, I remember a married couple came to a session together one time, and I was the timekeeper, and I caught them making out in the back. Which I thought was kind of cool. You know?
Okay, enough. We will stop here. But I want to encourage you all to make good use of the rest of the time of Sesshin. The rest of the time of Sesshin means be present, notice how, where you're getting caught up, and notice where self-centeredness, grasping, or the other forms of that gets into hearing, seeing, smelling, thinking arising, and all the other functioning of this wonderful pure radiance that we are. And we don't have to hold on to the word pure or the word radiance. It's who we are that doesn't require us to be special, different, try to do anything, just function from morning to night. Because you are. This is who you are. Except when you don't believe it, when you add dross to dross. Nice word, dross. So, be this wonderful functioning. Even the dross is nothing but this pure radiance. Thank you.
Copyright 2013, Eliu Genmyo Smith.